Flugshow, der Skispringen-Podcast. Alle News zum Skispringen der Männer und Frauen, spannende Hintergrundstories und exklusive Interviews. Präsentiert euch das deutsch-österreichische Trio Tobias Ruf, Louis Holuch und Gernot Clement.
Und weiter geht's. Die nächste Runde der Flugshow steht an. Euer Skispringen-Podcast präsentiert euch natürlich auch im Sommer die besten Interviews, die neuesten News im Bereich unseres Lieblingssports. Mein Name ist Tobias Ruf. Ich darf euch heute begrüßen. Und ja, die Suche ist beendet. Ich habe mein persönliches Bernsteinzimmer endlich wieder gefunden. Er ist nach längerer Pause endlich zurück. Gernot Clement, Gernot, hi, ich grüße dich. Schön, dass du wieder mal mit dabei bist.
Ja, die Freude ist ganz meinerseits. Grüß dich, Tobi, und freut mich sehr, dass wir es wieder mal geschafft haben, wir zwei.
Genau. Gernot, bevor wir zum schönen Teil kommen, unser Interview mit David Kubacki. Ihr habt es natürlich schon alle mitbekommen, wenn ihr in diese Folge reingeklickt habt, müssen wir leider eine News hier vermelden, die nicht so schön ist.
Ja, uns haben leider schreckliche News erreicht, um es wirklich ganz deutlich anzusprechen, aus dem Damen-Skispringen. Genauer gesagt aus dem Lager der DSV-Mädels, nämlich Agnes Reisch, die 21-Jährige, hat sich bereits im Mai bei einem Trainingssturz einen Kreuzbandriss zugezogen. Das Ganze ist passiert in Vorarlberg in Montafon bei einem Trainingslehrgang und sie ist auch bereits operiert worden. Das scheint alles gut verlaufen zu sein, also sie ist auf dem Weg der Besserung und jetzt gerade in physiotherapeutischer Behandlung. Es gibt zwar nie einen guten Zeitpunkt für so eine schwere Verletzung, aber der aktuelle Zeitpunkt jetzt im Hinblick auf die Olympiasaison, Tobi, ist natürlich noch schmerzhafter.
Ja, weil damit ist die Olympiasaison de facto für sie gelaufen. Und wir wissen, Olympia alle 4 Jahre ist auch etwas, worauf Sportlerinnen und Sportler gezielt hinarbeiten und was gerade auch für die Damen natürlich immer eine ganz tolle Bühne ist und deswegen, ja, gibt natürlich nie einen guten Zeitpunkt für eine schwere Verletzung, du hast es angesprochen, aber das wiegt schon schwer. Olympiasaison ist auch so ein bisschen das Stichwort. Wir haben mit David Kubacki über wahnsinnig viele Themen gesprochen, natürlich auch schon ein bisschen den Blick vorausgeworfen auf das, was uns nächste Saison erwartet. Ist ja wirklich auch eine ganz spannende Konstellation mit einer Schanze, die Athletinnen und Athleten nicht kennen. Und David Kubacki blickt natürlich auch ein bisschen zurück auf all das, was in der Vorsaison passiert ist. Ihr erinnert euch sicherlich an dieses Corona-Chaos bei der polnischen Mannschaft im Vorfeld der Vier-Schanzentournee. Da hat er uns wirklich tolle Einblicke gegeben, hat auch über sich selbst, finde ich, sehr, sehr spannende Dinge erzählt. Also Kubacki ist ja einer, der nicht so wirklich im Rampenlicht steht, obwohl er seit Jahren etablierter Teil der Weltspitze ist und da hat man tolle, schöne Einblicke erfahren und ja, ist eine launige Geschichte geworden. Leider hat die Internetverbindung nicht immer 100% mitgespielt. Seht uns das bitte nach. Wir haben natürlich auch in Corona-Zeiten damit zu kämpfen, dass wir das Ganze hier online immer für euch auch aufzeichnen. Gibt immer mal wieder Probleme, ihr werdet es sicher alle kennen. Wir haben trotzdem was Gutes, Launiges draus gemacht und ja, wir freuen euch, euch jetzt das Interview mit David Kubacki präsentieren zu dürfen. Viel Spaß dabei.
We are very happy to have him as a guest in our podcast today. He's a world champion on the Normal Hill 2019 in Seefeld. He won the Four Hills tournament with a fantastic performance in 2019-20. And his consistency is impressing the whole ski jumping family. Dzień dobry, Mistrz Świata David Kubacki.
Dzień dobry. Hi, everyone. I'm really glad I can also talk to you a little and have this small conversation.
David, really great to have you on our show. Thank you for taking the time. And well, let's not lose too much time and focus straight away on the important stuff, namely the sporting stuff. You told us before the recording that you just finished a training camp last week. Can you just give us some insights? How was it for you? And how does your training right now look like? Is it more focused on the gym, or are you already spending the whole day on the hill?
Yeah, we had our first camp with jumping. So it was a bit better time for us, because mostly after the winter, we start this period of really hard trainings on the gym. So it's more like weightlifting and jumping on the hard hurdles and everything. But yeah, when we can get back on the hill, that's where the fun begins, and that's what we like to do. So it's really great to be back on the hill. And also this camp was mostly to check everything, check the equipment, do some jumps, some practice jumps to like get used to this again. It wasn't focused so much on the techniques and everything, just to make some jumps, test the equipment, and also right now we are on this really hard training on the gym. So I also didn't expect it to jump perfect jumps straight away on this first camp. I think this will come later in the summer, when we will change this focus from the gym to the hill, to the technique stuff.
You just said that's where the fun begins. I mean, you have a season ahead with a lot of highlights. But one question, David, about your teammate, Kamil Stoch. I think he arrived a bit later to the training camp, and I just saw some pictures of him cycling. Is he injured? Does the ski jumping family need to worry about him a bit? Or
yeah, he had a small surgery, I can call it this way, because it's a similar situation like he had I think 3 years ago with the foot, but this time it's the other foot, that it's a small part of the bone is it was growing too much, and it was influencing the movement on the ankle, and he had to remove this, and right now he is getting back on the trainings. I don't know how much time he still needs to get to the full shape, but it's getting better every day. Right now, he removed these sticks that he was working on, so he's now working on his own foot, and everything is healing really well.
Okay, so we don't need to worry about him, and he will be fit for the Olympics in Beijing, hopefully.
Yeah, I think it will be the something like I don't know, maybe a month when he will get back to the full training and jumping again.
Okay, David, I already mentioned it will be another season with a lot of highlights. Speaking about the Olympics in Beijing, the biggest sports event obviously in the world, but there will be as well. Sure. The ski flying world championship in Vikersund, just 1 year after Planitza. I wanted to ask you about your preparation over the summer. Do you already know how your summer looks like? Will you be participating at the summer competitions as well?
Right now, I know what are the plans for the camps, or of course when we have the competition. But I don't know yet if we will do every competition in the summer. We will leave some competitions to focus on the training. I think this is the thing to coaches have power in this area. They have to think about it, what will be better. But I guess it will be similar to the previous years, that we are jumping on the most of the competition in the summer. Maybe not everyone, but on the most of the competitions. Yeah, beside of this, we have planned. We have planned the training camps and everything. So I think we are prepared in the planning zone what we will do.
David, may I ask you about the summer competitions? When you participate in a summer Grand Prix, what is the focus for you? That you are on the plan, that you want to be fit in winter, or are the results important? How can we think about those summer Grand Prix from your position?
My position when I'm going on the competition in the summer, it doesn't matter if it's a summer Grand Prix, it's a Continental Cup, or it's Polish Nationals. Competition is competition, and I'm trying to focus on my things, what I have to do to be the best at this time. Of course, sometimes there are situations that we are going on the summer competition, and we are not fully recovered after the training, because the summer is mostly to prepare the muscles for the winter. So there are situations that we are going a bit tired on this competition, but we are doing 100% on the hill what we can right now. And for me, I treat this summer competition like mostly like continuation of the winter. Because if you don't start on the summer competition, or you meet this competition like, oh yeah, it's summer, it's nothing important, then when the winter starts, it's like, oh, now is the competition. The last one was in March. Yeah. So the results may be different sometimes, because I can be a bit more tired or not fully for this competition. But the technical stuff and everything should be on 100%. I think also that it's really important from the mental side, mm-hmm. That you are prepared for this competition like in winter. It's competition. You are fully activated. You know what to do. And then if the winter starts, there's no surprise that this is the competition. And before I was going just to jump and have fun.
I think I see what you mean, because the break in after winter till the start of next winter is so long, and when you don't need to push your mental position in such a long period, it's getting more difficult when it comes back to winter. So it's also good.
Yeah, exactly.
Mental training. Yeah. How's the summer Grand Prix seen by the public and by the media in Poland? Because when I see the summer competition, for example, here in Germany, people are not that interested. When it comes to winter, ski jumping is in focus in Germany. But the summer stuff, the public doesn't in many parts even know that there are summer events taking place. How is this in Poland? Is there a bigger focus, you think, than, for example, in Germany?
It could be a bit bigger focus on the summer competition than in Germany, but also like in winter, there is a public on the TV. You can watch every competition. In summer, it sometimes happened that one was transmitting, the second competition wasn't, and it was so. I think it also depends on the other sports that are going around. Like this summer, we have Summer Olympics, so they could also take a big part of the TV relations. So I don't know how it will be in this summer, but when the TV is transmitting this competition, there is a lot of people watching it, and also if it's possible to go on the hill and cheer us at place. There is also a lot of people in Poland on these competitions.
Yeah, I already saw the difference when there were competitions also in Poland, for example, than to other places.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks to your great fans that are there all over the world. There's a point that we were talking about a lot of times, not only with you, also with Halvor or Karl, for example. It's the Olympic Games going on in China. And the special thing about this event will be that it is held up on a hill that you all don't know. David,
yeah.
How can you prepare for an event on a hill that you don't know? And this event is so important and special. How do you prepare for this?
Basically, it's pretty simple, because you prepare like for any other competition. Of course, when we are going to the Summer Grand Prix or Winter or World Cup in the winter, mostly there are hills that we already know. We were there many times, and there's nothing surprising. But the main thing is that if you are jumping good and your technique is good and power is good, it doesn't matter on which hill you are jumping. You can do it well also on the hill that you don't know. Of course, when we get there, it will be some training, and I think it's not a problem. For every jumper, when he starts career, at some point, every hill is a new hill. So it happened also that I was jumping, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, and then we go to the hill that I'm first time there. So, you need a jump or two to get used to the hill.
David, my colleague Tobias already mentioned that you don't know this hill. But do you still think that even if the best jumpers are in a top shape, do you think the chance that we will see a surprise Olympic champion is a bit higher because you don't know the hill?
It could be, because sometimes there is something in a specific hill that makes one or two jumpers do really well on this hill. And I think it won't be something like one person show, but it will be a really, really good competition.
If we remember back to Pyeongchang a few years ago, when the conditions are like they were on the competition at the normal hill, I think you all remember and us journalists standing 3 or 4 hours there, minus 30 degrees. I still remember it. it can always be a surprise. Do you have thoughts back to this competition when it was so late in the evening, so much wind? It was incredible, David, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a 2-day competition basically. Yeah. And I remember it also because this level of competition was taking place in the in so difficult conditions, and they didn't move it. I know that it's also the television and everything that that is regulating this when we can jump. So it was really hard to get used to this thing. Thinking that I was out of the basically most important competition in my life because of the wind conditions. Yeah. So it wasn't nice, especially then that in the same day, I think if I remember it right, in the same day they canceled the skiing because of the wind. Yeah. but ski jumping was going.
Yeah
So it was really strange.
I remember I was standing there at skiing and waiting for the competition, and they said no, it's cancelled, then going back, and then this incredible long day with hours waiting outside was tough. We will see what happens in China, and the upcoming season is a bit similar to the season that is behind us, because we have many highlights. We have the full Four Hills tournament, we have Olympic Games, we have again Ski Flying World Championship. Do you already have goals for the next season, David, or is it too early when we talk in June? And I mean the highlights that are coming up are still to come.
Basically, I can say that I have a plan and goals for the rest of the seasons that I will compete in my career, because every winter and every competition I'm going I'm preparing for the whole winter to do really well on every competition. And also I think that if there is a highlights in the season, you cannot prepare just for the highlights. For the highlights competition, you have to be prepared for every single competition. Improve your jumping, improve your abilities to win, to make really good places. And only then, when you are going on this highlight competition, you are in the good shape and you can still compete on this highest level. So, for me, it doesn't change anything if there is an Olympic Games or Ski Flying World Championships or World Championships or Polish Nationals. when I'm going to the, when I'm preparing for the season, I'm preparing for the whole season to participate in every competition as good as I can.
Mm-hmm. David, before you start a preparation for the new season, so are you someone that needs to formulate his goals before starting the preparation so you know why you work that hard day by day?
I think in my head, I have it from a long time, what I want to achieve and why I'm doing it. So I don't have to do it on paper. I have it in my mind, and that's what keeps me rolling on the trainings, no matter how hard they are. And I'm just doing it.
Can you let us know?
Yeah, it's nothing difficult, because it's I'm jumping and I'm working to be the best on the hill and to win. Basically, the best situation will be if I can win every competition. But of course, I'm a realist, and I know that sometimes it's really hard, and many things can involve are involved into this on the competition, the wind conditions and everything. So I'm preparing to be the best, do my best on the hill, and then I'm hoping to be also at the top at the end of the competition.
Looking back to 2020-21, David, it was a crazy season, which was very long. You had the Ski Flying World Championships before Christmas already, then the Nordic World Championships in Oberstdorf came up. When you now think about it, how would you summarize this crazy season, very long season with a lot of highlights?
Yeah, it was a really tough season for us, like us jumpers. Because basically after the previous season we didn't know if we started trainings, and we didn't know if we could jump in the winter, if there will be any competitions. So this was really hard for the to focus on what you have to do. But then when we start this season, of course there was many problems that the spectators couldn't be on the hill, but other than this, the FIS, the organizing committee of every competition, they were doing really great. We had almost every competition that was planned in the season, so it was really, really great. I think the season was quite nice. Only the last part of the season was so for me, and I think for all Polish athletes, it wasn't so perfect. But of course, also there was many highlights for the Polish jumpers. Kamil won the for his tournament again. I was quite high on the for his tournament, so that was nice. I won the first competition in this year in Garmisch with a hill record, so that was a really enjoyable moment for me. Then also on the World Championships, Piotr made a gold medal on the small hill. We made a medal on the team competition. So, yeah, it was it was many good things in this season. Only this last part in Planica was so. But yeah, lesson learned, and we are focusing on the next season now.
How was it jumping? Let's take, for example, the Four Hills tournament. You won the Four Hills tournament, and we all three were there, all the competitions, and saw this amazing atmosphere. And 1 year later, no spectators at all. How was it for you, talking about your performance? Did you have problems without spectators, or are you kind of a jumper that says, I'm so focused, I'm so in the tunnel, if there are 50,000 or zero people, it doesn't make a difference for my jump?
It's in my case, it's sort of both of this situation, because I know when I'm on the hill, when I'm sitting on the gate up there, then I'm alone. I can just do my thing, and I'm doing it by myself. And I noticed that that in this moment I have to be focused on only on myself, what I have to do. But also when we have spectators on the hill, they are they are going to the hill to feel the emotions, to share these emotions with everybody else around you. So when you take this thinking that, okay, these people are on the hill and they are to watch me, to cheer me, and you can take this these emotions and this this power of these people to yourself, that this will let me do it better. When you have the spectators, you can, it can play on your favor basically. But if there is no spectators on the hill, it doesn't change much for the jump itself. But when you jump really good and you are really happy, you want to feel this atmosphere. You want to feel this power of the people, of this noise and the cheering. This year it was at the best scenario. It was some from the speakers, some noises of the spectators. So yeah, it was different. But I think for us as jumpers, it's not a big problem that there was no people. But I think everyone would love to get the spectators back on the hill.
Same here. And we were already talking about the Four Hills tournament. And Gernot, now you can ask a question. We were discussing a lot about a special day at Four Hills tournament right at the beginning. And yeah, Gernot.
Yeah, it's a topic that Tobias, Luis, our third colleague, and me, we were discussing many times, David. You just said that obviously it was a big highlight when your teammate Kamil won the Four Hills tournament, a big up in that long season, but it began with a really, really big down. It must have been one of the weirdest days for you as a ski jumper. I'm talking about the qualification day in Oberstdorf. We all remember there was this news, Clemens Muranka, was it, that he tested positive for COVID. We all know that the test result was turned out to be wrong. So he was not positive. Yeah. But the consequence was that you guys were caught in the hotel room, basically doing nothing. I don't know. Were you already preparing your luggage to go home, or how did you spend this day? How was it for you, also from a mental perspective?
It was a really hard time because for me, especially because I was the situation when we get on the competition on the Four Hills tournament, and this knowledge that. My wife is giving a beard to my daughter, and I will be sitting on the quarantine in Oberstdorf for the next 14 days. It was really like I couldn't even think about it. So basically, we didn't believe this test because it was a bit strange that everybody was tested a day before when we get to the competition. Everybody was clear, and then suddenly we have one positive test of Clemens, and it was like sort of described as schwer negativ or schwer positive in Germany. I don't know what it means exactly, but it's something like lightly positive or something like this. They explained that to that it was something like this. So we were what it means, and then we get the information that the test will be made again on every of us, every ski jumper. But overall, we get the last result of this test 2 minutes after the end of the qualification in Oberstdorf. Yeah, we were watching the qualifications in the hotel, and the qualifications ends. And 2 minutes later, we get the test that everybody is negative. So that was really like, what? And then we didn't know what to do. But later in this day, we get the information that the qualification will be canceled, and we will jump. Everybody will jump in the first competition. And it turned out really well because Kamil won this tournament, and I finished third, if I'm not wrong.
I mean, this whole situation was so abstractly, and then you came back and did such an amazing performance. Was there a special team spirit that was created by those chaotic moments, and you all went together and saw, okay, we were out, now we are in, and now let's rock this Foils tournament?
Yeah, we are a really strong team. We are good colleagues, and we can we know how to support each other. Maybe there was a bit of help from this side that I become a father in this competition in Oberstdorf, and then of course you have to celebrate it a bit. So it was a good moment to let all of these negative emotions go away, and then we could focus on what we have to do. And it worked pretty well for me also, because the next day I won the New Year's competition in Garmisch. So I know that we are a really strong team, and in every situation we will do really good.
Mm-hmm. So in the end, two young fathers of little girls on the podium of the Foils tournament, you and Carl Geiger. But we talk about this later a bit. David, you know, I'm from Germany. And the thing with the Foils tournament, we love the Foils tournament. And half of it is taking place in Germany. Do you know when was the last German victory, overall victory in Foils tournament?
No, I don't know.
2002, Sven Hannawald, when he made the Grand Slam, winning everything. So since 20 years, we in Germany wait for the overall victory in Foils tournament. So now when I see the winning result, and you are one of the overall winners, why are the Polish ski jumpers so good in the Foils tournament? And can you give us tips how we can win this Foils trophy again? We want the golden bird, David.
I think it's the most important thing is that we are not waiting for the winner. Yeah. We are working to win this competition. So I think it could be a good advice for you also.
Would it be more difficult for you if the Four Hills tournament would take place in Poland, because then the pressure on you would be a bit higher?
I think the overall meaning of the Four Hills tournament is already really high. It's a really really great competition with a lot of highlights, a lot of TV advertisements and everything. So I think the pressure on the competitors are quite high already. I don't know what will happen if this kind of competition will be in Poland. But I think from my side, I can do also really great, because as we talked earlier, I know that the spectators on the hill are to help me. And on the hill, I'm just focused on what I can do and what I have to do to make a really good jump. And I'm trying to not think about everyone else around me and what everybody wants, because the pressure is starting to be realistic when you let it in. If you realize that you are going on the hill and nobody else, that in this time it doesn't matter what other people says and what other people want me to do. I'm there alone and I'm doing my stuff. And if I do it good, then at the bottom of the hill, I can raise my hand and be really, really smiley and happy about what I've done.
And how great you did it. We saw it in the season 2019-2020, when you won the Foils tournament. We have now one victory from you. We have you as a world champion. We have Kamil as Olympic champion, as world champion, winning three times Foils tournament. Now we saw in Oberstdorf that Piotr Żuła winning the gold medal from the normal hill. Is this the golden generation of Polish ski jumping that we see right now with you, Kamil Piotr?
If it is, I don't know. I think it's a really great time for Polish sport, especially ski jumping and Polish Ski Federation, because earlier when the Adam was winning, it was a big difference between Adam on the World Cup and the rest of the Polish ski jumpers. So right now we are three or four jumpers that are on the highest level. And mostly when somebody is a bit worse this day, have a worse day, and the other one is jumping really good. That is really important that we have this kind of strong team. I cannot say if in the future there won't be any team as our team, because everything could happen. I know that the young ski jumpers from Poland are also working pretty hard to improve their level, and also Kamil has his own ski jumping club, so he's training a lot of young Polish ski jumpers, which I hope will be competing on as good level as we are, or maybe even better.
Mm-hmm. What do you think has changed in the last years so far? Because we often see it in sports when there are athletes that are really successful, the sport becomes more and more important. So there's more money in it, there's more infrastructure, more fans, more sponsors. How did you saw the development of Polish ski jumping in the last years, when the successes were so big as you did it?
I think the biggest change was after the Adam, when Adam was winning, mm-hmm. because then I was a young jumper then, but I saw that after his really good results, when I started training on the competitions, we have three or four guys in my age that we were competing, but after Adam's when Adam was winning there, at 1 year it becomes to 50 or 60 jumpers. So I think it's now we are taking the results from these actions, that there was so many young jumpers starting his interest in this sport. And also we were rebuilt the jumping hills in Zakopane, also in Szczyrk. So we now in Poland we have quite a good place to improve jumping of these young athletes. I think it's still not as good as in Germany or Austria, because you guys have these hills like on every corner, basically. In Poland we have right now only three places when we have where we have this really good jumping hills, which is Zakopane, Szczyrk and Wisła. So it's not so much for this big country, but yeah, it's getting better from year to year. Right now they are rebuilding the hills on the small hills in Zakopane. So in this summer we'll have some nationals on the new hill. Last time I was jumping on this hill, I don't know, maybe 12 or 13 years ago.
It's getting better year by year, and you, Kamil, and Piotr Siwa, you're also getting better year by year. David, you're now 31 years old. Do you already know how long you will be ski jumping? Are you maybe planning to become the next Noriaki Kasai?
I'm not planning it, because I see this this way, that I love to do it. I love to jump. That's something that I want to do. So as long as I will be able to compete on a good level, and basically my health will let me jump, I think I will do it because I love it. And I'm not focusing on this in 2 years I have to finish, or I have to keep it 10 years more. It's For me, it's more like something that I love to do, and I would like to do it as long as my health will let me.
And when we think about the career after the ski jumping career, do you already have plans? Is it also interesting for you? Maybe you just said that they rebuilt a lot of hills in Poland. Is it also interesting for you to become a coach one day?
Yeah, I was sometimes thinking about it, like what I will do after the career. And I think, as I said, I love this sport. I love ski jumping. So if there will be possibilities to stay in this sport after my career, I will definitely take this chance and try to help other guys, other young guys improve and compete on the highest level. So yeah, but we will see. It's, I think right now it's not something that I have to bother in maybe a few years at least.
Mm-hmm. When we look to the point when one day it's over with ski jumping, there's a question that is a bit connected to this. And this question is not from me or from Gerhard. It's from a famous guy of ski jumping family. I played, David, when you don't understand it, just tell me. And I will repeat it. And now let's have the question.
Okay.
Hey, David, Sven Hannawald speaking. I have a question for you, which is very interesting for me. What would you be if you were not a ski jumper?
Okay. It's a really hard question because from my knowledge, if I didn't go on the hill when I was young, probably I will be a mechanic in this time, because since I was a kid, I was really interested in taking apart every toy, every thing that is moving and working, to see how it works and why it don't work. So it's quite possible that if I didn't go on the hill, I would be a mechanic at this time. Maybe a plane mechanic, because the other thing that is really important for me is flying. Yeah, that's the probable scenario, that if I will have money for the courses, I will maybe be a pilot. But if I don't, I will make this money as a mechanic.
Okay, I will tell Sven Hannawald when I talk to him. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
And besides ski jumping, David, what is your biggest hobby? Are you also interested in football? I know that in Poland you have a striker playing for Bayern Munich that is not that bad. Are you also interested in football?
Yeah, I heard about it sometimes in the TV. Yeah, but I'm not such a football fan as Kamil, for example. Because Kamil is a really big fan of Liverpool. From my side, I like to watch the matches with colleagues, especially when the Polish team is Polish representation is playing, to cheer them. But it's not something that I would wait with the clock and when it will start. For me, it's more like yeah, we are watching the game. Of course, we are watching the game, but it's not something something like this. For me, it's more interesting to go on the airfield here in Nowy Targ, because since I was a kid, I was planning to fly, and it started with the radio controlled models, and I was doing it and steering it in the air. And 3 years ago, I started the lessons to fly with a glider. And yeah, for me, it's this kind of hobby. It's a more interesting to go and fly or with the models or in the glider.
I see. Being up in the air, spending time there is That's your life, David. Huh?
Yeah, but I think it's it's something we all have in common because as I know, many ski jumpers are making the pilot licenses and they are flying. So there is something that we were born to be there.
Mm-hmm. Gernot, isn't Thomas Morgenstern from Austria? He's also a pilot, isn't he?
Yeah, he's also flying a helicopters.
Yeah. Yeah, saw a lot of pictures of this. Okay,
I think also Simon Amman, I think also has a license. So yeah, if you look closely, a lot of ski jumpers are flying also.
David, in 20 years after all your career, Simon Amman and you could make this kind of a reunion, and you all come with your own helicopters back again, and then you can think about the competitions in Beijing 2022.
Yeah, it's maybe possible, but I still don't have my own helicopter, so that's a small problem.
Without it, will be difficult. David, one thing. Let's get back to sports. Now we are at the questions, and now we still have one question from me, one from Gernot, and two special guests in our show with two questions. I start, and when I think about your jumps on the hill, it's you that is always constantly, when you leave the hill, it goes to the right, to the right, to the right. Do you have an explanation for me?
An explanation, and it's pretty simple because I'm fighting with this issue from a few years, and it is because when I stand straight, my head is moved a bit to the right. Okay. Like I'm not watching 12 o'clock, I'm watching a bit on the first. If I'm a bit twisted in the head, then it's going a bit to the right, to the right, to the right.
It's easier as we thought it, because I thought, maybe it has to do with the material, with a technical point of view when you leave the hill or whatever, but sometimes it's that simple and it's still successful. So
my personal question, David, that is something that I really want to know from you, is that when you now think about your perfect career jump, which one comes to your mind?
My perfect career jump is when I do it and I feel it that in every element it's working as it should be. Everything is like flowing on how it should. Some of these jumps in the last year in Garmisch, when I won the competition with Hill Record, that was this kind of the jump. And also the jumps in Bischofshofen when I was winning the forklift tournament. There was also the jumps where pretty much nothing could happen different in this scenario. So this was the jumps that I really appreciate and I really like them.
They were impressive. So next question for you, David, and it's a question. Yeah, it's like a ping pong ball, because in our last episode, you asked a question to Carl Geiger, and now the ping pong ball comes back.
Okay.
Hi, David. Here's Carl Geiger. I hope you're doing fine. And my question to you is, how is your sleeping at the last month? And are you able to do a good training and to spend time with your family?
So it's the young dad, also Carl Geiger, and he's asking about your sleep.
So so I guess his daughter doesn't let him sleep as well. but in my case, it's everything is going perfect, because one thing is that I have a really strong sleep. So even if something is happening around, I don't care. She's awaking right now once in the night to eat, but she's not crying. She's when she's hungry, she just woke up and do like, mama, give me something to eat, and then she's going back to sleep. So basically right now we are putting her to bed around 9 o'clock, Then she normally wakes up around midnight or 1 o'clock, and then she's sleeping till 7 or 8 a.m. So yeah, we could sleep really, really great.
Okay, I will tell Carl, and maybe when we see big differences next season, we can say, huh, it was Carl's baby,
that, Lisa, was it.
That didn't let him sleep. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Okay, and now a third question that we have from a guest. It's from a colleague of mine, from Noah Platschko. He's a sports journalist in Berlin. He's half Polish. He's a big fan of you and your team, and he has a special question also about the Polish team.
Hi, David. I also have a question for you. If you had to choose one person to live on an island with for 10 years, would you choose Adam Małysz or Kamil Stoch? Powiedz, co robisz?
Hard question, David.
Yeah, it's a hard question because I would want to answer that I would take my wife and my daughter, but if my choice is so restricted to only these two guys, I think I will choose Kamil because we are spending a lot of times together right now on the camps and everything. So I think we could spend this time and don't kill each other.
Okay, thanks. Cool answer.
It would be easier to spend the time there with Kamil because Adam would always analyze your training there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, David, so we reached the final part of our show. Thanks again for joining the Fluke Show podcast. It's really great to have you here. And the last part is called Quick Five, because it's a special moment for our podcast when an eagle like you is taking part. And we cannot let you go without having played a short game at the end where we ask you 5 ski jumping related questions.
I can say only that I don't expect to be to have the highest result in this test because it depends on the questions. But when I was younger, and I think I was first time on the Summer Grand Prix, I was in top 6 in Hintersarten, and then some guys were congratulating me. And I was this ski jumper which didn't know the other ski jumpers. So this Jakobsen was giving me high five, it's good job. And the colleagues were asking, you know who was it? No.
No worries, David. It's more about personal preferences. So there is no yes or no, and you don't need to know any dates where you had your first top 10 results. So it's more about the personal preferences in ski jumping.
Okay, so that will be an easy test. Perfect. I hope.
Then let's start. David, what is your most favorite hill?
Zakopane, Wielka Krokiew.
Well, you were born just around the corner, right?
Yeah, really close. I was born in Nowy Targ, but it's only 15 or 20 kilometers. Zakopane. And that was the hill which I was training, of course, on the smaller hills. But when I started to jump on the big hill, but mostly I love this hill because of the competitions we have here and the fans that are coming on the competitions in Zakopane. When you are standing on the podium, when you hear 20 or 25,000 people singing the national anthem a cappella, it's something incredible.
And we already spoke about the special last season because of COVID and everything, but it was also special because you had 2 competitions in Zakopane as well.
Yeah. And both without the spectators. That's a shame.
That's a shame. That's true. All right. Let's move on to the next question. Second one. David, which hill you don't like at all, or where you rather prefer to stay at home or in bed instead of going to the hill?
Wisła.
Oh, that's a hard choice for a Polish eagle.
Because it's I don't like this hill. I don't know why, but I don't like it. And yeah, whether we go there to the training camp or on the competition, it's, for me, it's, yeah, you have to do it. And I was also winning on this hill many times, so it doesn't influence my jumping, but I really don't like this hill.
Okay. Next question. The jumping style of which current or former athlete impresses you the most?
I would say, I am impressed by Cene Left when he was flying on Planica with his skis almost clapping behind his head. That was a really impressive style.
And when you think about a Polish eagle, which jumping style would impress you the most?
I think Kamil is really great from the technique side, and his body in flight and during the landing is it looks quite good, and he's getting quite high judges points. So that is something that I would like to know how to do also.
And when it comes to celebration, David, I'm impressed by Piotr Żuba. Nobody screams as funny as Piotr Żuba.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. maybe Markus
has
a bit of chance to win it with him, but it's a close call.
It would be a tough battle, Markus versus
exactly.
Piotr.
But when speaking about Piotr Żuba, David, I have to ask you one quick question. Is he ever in a bad mood, or is he always in a great mood? Because we always see him smiling.
Yeah, he can be in the bad mood, and I know him from the times when this mood wasn't so good as in the past years. So, yeah, it's also possible.
All right, let's move on to the fourth question. David, what was the most beautiful moment in your career so far on the hill?
On the hill? I think right now, the moment with when we won the bronze Olympic medal with the team. Of course, it's hard to evaluate everything, but I think the Olympic medal, when we make it with the team, it was something that everybody was working for really hard. And we knew that we finally do this for the Poland. So that was something that takes our breath away for a moment.
Very interesting. And I think it already gives you goosebumps when you think about Beijing next year, that the Olympics are coming up.
Yeah, of course, this is a really really important competition, and everybody wants to go for on the Olympics and compete there really well. So, yeah, I'm excited for this, but not overexcited. It's on a good level, I guess.
And now the last question, David. What was the craziest moment or the weirdest moment in your career so far? Was there something that was strange on the hill?
In my career, it was one moment. That's maybe why I don't like so much of Wisła, because when they built this hill, they cut the trees away. It was quite windy after the takeoff. And it was also the time when my jumping to the right was quite strong, and I was landing pretty close to the borders of the hill. Cool. And with this wind, I get so strong gust of the wind from the side that I was basically outside the hill. And in the air, I had to turn around and go back to the hill again. And I landed around 120 meters on the hill, sideways, going back from around the hill, from behind the border.
Okay, that's weird.
So it was really strange and terrifying moment for me.
We can maybe even call this the most dangerous moment in your career so far, right?
Yeah, exactly, because when you taking off from the hill, and the only thing that you are seeing is the forest, it's something wrong.
Ski jumping is not constipated like this, that you stay in the forest. Okay. David, with this special moment, we've come to an end of our show, of our podcast Flugshow. And I can speak for me, and I think also for Gernot and all the people that are going to listen to this. Really, really cool to have so many great impressions from you, from the Polish ski jumping, and all the stuff we've talked about in the last hour. David, thank you really, really, really much that you have been part of our show.
Thank you very much also. I really appreciate that I can be in your show, have this small and fun conversation, and I hope everybody who will listen to this will also have a bit of fun, fun time to listen what I was trying to say.
They will, definitely, David. And now, we wish you all the best now for the upcoming training time in summer, for the summer events, of course, for the start of the season and all the things that will come up in the season 2021-22. And David, when you have the medal in Beijing, we hear each other next year and we celebrate the medal together in the Flugshow. Is this a deal?
Yeah, we have a deal.
Nice. Thanks a lot, David.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Das war also unser Interview mit David Kubacki. Wir hoffen, euch hat diese Sonderausgabe gefallen. Wir hatten schon Eva Pinkelnick zu Gast, wir hatten Karl Geiger zu Gast, Halvor Egner-Granerud. Hört da wirklich auch nochmal gerne rein. Wir haben aber schon weitere Dinge in Planung. Ihr dürft euch auf regelmäßige Folgen der Flugshow freuen. Und wenn es euch gefallen hat, dann gebt uns gerne Likes bei Instagram, bei Twitter, bei Facebook. Kontaktiert uns mit Feedback, ob positiv oder negativ. Meldet euch, tretet in Kontakt mit uns. Das klappt ja eh schon super gut. Also die Interaktionen sind immer wirklich Wahnsinn. Dafür vielen herzlichen Dank von uns dreien. Also auch im Namen von Luis Holuch. Den werdet ihr bald schon wieder hören, denn wir haben schon wieder etwas in Planung. Aber nö, ich verrate jetzt einfach mal nicht mehr. Hab mich sehr gefreut, Gernot, dass wir mal wieder einen Podcast zusammen aufnehmen durften. Und ja, deine Stimme wurde so selten hier gehört, Gernot. Dann darfst du auch das letzte Wort heute haben.
Ja, liebe Flugschauhörerinnen und Hörer, ich hoffe natürlich auch, dass euch die Sendung mit David Kubacki gefallen hat. Fliegt soweit es geht, wie der Tobi schon angekündigt hat. Wir werden uns schon bald wieder hören. Und tschüss.